Welcome to the Full Press Packers Pod, part of Full Press Coverage. My name is Kyle Senra, one of your co-hosts. I'm the rant-filled, rant-head co-host here. And of course, joining me is my co-host, Jesse Optimistic Hall. How you doing, Jesse?
I'm doing great, Kyle. Christmas is over, and hopefully you like all our gifts like I do, but we'll see. Christmas in Detroit.
Cole! And I mean, for the Patriots have had a draft with Cole. This is strange. Cole Strange.
There you go.
The breach of the offensive line. But yes, no Cole Strange is in the first round this year. But yes, the Packers just finished the NFL draft. So did all 32 other teams. And kind of like our free agency episode, there were some things where I was like, am I kind of being a negative Nancy here? Sure enough, Jesse would show you the sunny side. So I suppose we'll continue doing that for the draft. But it's hard not to be optimistic just going into the draft, seeing the Packers had they didn't have 11 going into the draft, but at the end of the day, they ended up making 11 rookie picks. So they just added 11 players to this roster, all on cheap rookie contracts. So, you know, if there's, say, a franchise quarterback extension that just happens to have to come through this year, then you've got the space to create that, even, you know, have it kick in this year and things like that. So, yeah, 11 total draft picks. What'd you think of that number before we get into the 11 players specifically?
Goody doing goody things. He was moving around the board. I actually thought that it was going to be a little bit less. I thought they were going to be more aggressive, maybe move up early. They didn't. They actually held their ground. And, yeah, 11's a little more than I thought they would have. But sounds like the Packers, right? They love those draft picks. They like to stockpile them, and they like those day three draft picks. So not really super surprised, but – you know, we'll see. That's 11 roster spot. I don't think everyone obviously is going to make the roster because we already have a pretty solid roster. So pretty interesting.
Yeah. And I mean, if you're adding quality players and it's, you know, you're having to cut a quality player because you've got 53 guys that are just too good. That's a great problem to have. That's what good teams have as a problem, as opposed to, man, we're struggling to find, let's just go down to 50 and hopefully there's three players that get cut from training camps that we can pick up because there's no one worth it. That's the bad problem to have.
Right. Definitely.
So, going into the draft, I know we talked about in our previous episodes what we thought were the biggest needs Packers-wise, and we both kind of said offensive line. To be honest, at least offensively, offensive line seemed like the biggest need. I don't know if the Packers were listening, but ultimately, they kicked off the draft with their natural pick 25 overall. You mentioned it, Jesse, that they may have tried to trade up, maybe not, but they ultimately didn't trade up. And frankly, there weren't a lot of teams trading up massive amounts of spots. It seems like any trade-ups that happened were, oh, look, the Vikings trading up one spot. Or the Chiefs to the Bills. That was a few spots. But like I think maybe the range where the Packers wanted to get to trade up, the teams there weren't willing to play ball. They had players in mind they wanted to pick and stick. So I think ultimately the Packers, like you said, were going to use their amount of picks and to try and get quality and try and move up. Didn't end up being the case. And in fact, the opposite happened. They later made some trade downs to acquire extra picks. So if you can't get the elite players you get, then why trade up for something you're not so sure in? So either, you know, the price was too high or teams were just, again, not willing to trade at all. They were set on drafting their rookies. And so the Packers stuck at 25 overall and picked left tackle, or I assume left tackle, offensive lineman, Jordan Morgan from the University of Arizona. And so, Jesse, we had talked about a few offensive linemen before. I don't know that for a first-round pick, Jordan Morgan was necessarily spoken about, but what were your reactions to this, and what do you think?
So everything you said there, there was other guys on the board still that I like better, for sure. There's even other linemen, I think, but it's hard to go against Green Bay and pick an offensive lineman. They do pretty good at it. They have their kind of guy. They have their type, right? Athletic guys that can move, really good splits. They don't like them too heavy. They like them around, you know, the 300 to 315 range, 6'5". It's Jordan Morgan, right? I mean, they say he's coming in as left tackle. I'm sure they're going to try him out there. I'm sure they can move him around. You know, the book's still not closed. If they move Zach Tom inside, who knows? Shorter arms, like kind of like a Brian Bulaga with the shorter arms, really athletic. I think he's a little raw. So his hand placement and stuff like this, it's things all can be fixed, but all the tools are there. Came off a pretty nasty injury his junior year. Went back to school, had a dominant senior year. Didn't give up a sack. His UCLA game against some really good pass rushers was probably his best game of the year. That's probably what got him in the first round that game, because he was dominant in that game. But yeah, just some things to clean up on, but a good overall pick. A typical Packer pick, right? Nothing sexy, just, you know, meat and potatoes kind of pick that's going to stick around for a long time. And you just let him do his thing. And when you never see his name, he's doing pretty good.
You say offensive lineman picks are very rarely sexy. I do wonder if Jason Kelce being named the sexiest man alive as a center as an offensive lineman of the NFL, maybe that now that the sex appeal of offensive line changed. So Jordan Morgan, sexy pick. No. We're not going to bring sexy back on this show. but we are in sync in a certain sense there, Jesse, of, I don't know. So I guess you kind of pointed out, you're not as convinced he's going to be at left tackle right away. Whereas, I'm thinking they drafted him to be the left tackle. They'll keep Zach Tom at right tackle. But you're still leaving the door open that best five includes Rasheed Walker. And if he's got right. The left tackle experience, have Morgan as a rookie play right tackle, and suddenly Zach Tom is your right guard.
Or center, right?
Or center, Walker. Yeah, wherever you want to. Between Josh Myers and Sean Ryan. Who knows? But, I think that might have been part of the reason we were almost wondering if it would have been better to go, say, Barton, the interior offensive lineman from Duke, who ended up going the very next pick to the Buccaneers, so it wouldn't have been a reach on him. But ultimately, I wonder if the fact that Morgan's a tackle, and again, the how much more valuable the outside pass protectors are than everyone else on the line, and the importance of, you know, you can always, like, say with Zach Tom, you can always take a tackle and move them inside. If they can't quite pan out as a tackle, or in Green Bay's case, with Tom would just be the gluttony of riches on the outside. You have to get all those guys on the field, so one of them moves to the inside. But typically, you can do that with tackle. With a guard, if they're not very good at guard, then you're not moving them out to tackle. And if they're an elite all-pro guard, unless they're Elton Jenkins, you're probably never moving them out to tackle. Elton Jenkins, kind of a freak. You can start all five offensive line spots. If you had five, if you had just could clone him five times, you'd be happy with your offensive line forever. In my dad, can we clone the contract so it's one contract negotiation?
Three Jenkins and two Toms, and you're set for life, right? I think Morgan's going to get a shot. You know, coming in right away, it's already penciled in left tackle. They're going to let him battle, right? And, you know, the Green Bay is all about putting their best five on the field. And if your sixth man is a swing tackle that can play both, whether it's Walker or Morgan as a rookie, you're sitting in a good spot, right? Especially if it's good, it's going to come down to camp battles. But yeah, this is exactly what you want. Iron sharpens iron. Let make everybody better. So this is great.
Now, the one thing I'll say, I'll shout out Terrence Biggs, Full Press Raiders managing editor, one of our senior editors at Full Press Coverage. He had actually gone through and did a bunch of mock drafts for different teams, not just the Raiders, and actually ended up writing a Packers mock draft where he took Jordan Morgan. And, you know, I reached out to him afterwards too, and kind of asked him, like, do you think he's ready to start week one at left tackle? And he seems convinced yet. You were saying raw with the hand placement, but with what Biggs is saying, and he, again, you can read that mock draft article on fullpresscoverage.com. The footwork seems like that's intact. Like, that's ready to go for the NFL. It's really just, you know, how does he handle the strength and speed of the best pass rushers in the world? Because that's how you're going up against the NFL. That's maybe the adjustment. But you're saying, like, hand placement, that's still a big part of technique that maybe through training camp he can really refine that and figure that out. But it seems at the very least the footwork aspect of, you know, mirroring when you're pass rushing or you know, being able to move well to the outside and blocking assignments, that seems like that's there. So he's raw in certain extents, but also seems like he's well-refined in others, which speaks to the fact that he's shown he can get that good technique. So it's probably just a matter of time before he figures out the hand placement aspect.
And that's all it is. Get him in Green Bay, they'll get him right. Ben Fennell, who just has great film and studies this stuff. Yeah, like you said, he's a dancing bear. Footwork's great. He moves well. He can anchor. It's just hand placement and staying latched on to guys. That stuff's teachable. That stuff comes. You know, maybe get a little bit stronger. It's going to, you know, probably take a year to get stronger. But coming out the gate, he'll be fine. It's just little things, right? I'd rather take that than other issues, you know, where guys don't bend or can't kick out. So that, it's just nitpicking. But again, Green Bay drafted offensive linemen, they have a pretty good track record. So it's hard to argue against them.
They don't always do it in the first round. They've been able to find gems outside the first round, but they have also, like you said, Brian Bulaga. I'm pretty sure he was a first rounder that truly did pan out. So I think, yeah, as long as Jordan Morgan can pan out, and the fact that they're spending a first round pick on him tells me that they envision him as the left tackle. So again, if I had to guess right now, I'd say he starts week one at left tackle, and Rashid Walker is relegated to being a swing tackle kind of guy. Now, maybe Rashid Walker, if he can't play guard as well as Zach Tom, maybe he actually does play on the right side, to your point of moving Zach Tom in. He played so well at right tackle last year. I feel like
Yeah.
it'd be a shame to just not keep him out there. I feel like, but we'll see. It's all about getting the best five guys out there, whatever combination works. And both Zach Tom and Elgton Jenkins, their versatility allows the line to kind of be creative in terms of how they deploy.
For sure.
So starting off with a bang, Jordan Morgan, I think we're both happy with the pick. Like you, I think you wanted Barton as well, right? That was the, again, address that interior line, get that maybe franchise right guard or eventually center. The Buccaneers
Yeah,
certainly thought that too, but
that's kind of where I was leaning. And then he went right after. So, yeah, like I said, there's a few guys on the board. I was like, oh man, we had a shot at that guy. But, after you think about it for about 30 seconds, you're like, well, Green Bay knows what they're doing. So, especially the O line. So, you get over it. It's fine. We're going to be fine.
I maybe don't trust Gutekunst fully with certain aspects, but yeah, him get understanding the offensive linemen, it seems like they've done a good job drafting them so far anyway, and we'll see. I'm optimistic though about Jordan Morgan. I think he's got good upside to be that, again, franchise left tackle if he pans out. So such an important position, certainly not opposed to addressing it early and using a very important pick, a first rounder, to protect your quarterback's blind side long term. So moving into the second round, this is really, Jesse, the remnants of Aaron Rodgers, that second round pick they got from the Jets as part of the trade for in 2024. They also got it moved up in the 2023 draft. I think they got an extra pick in 2023 as well out of that. But yeah, one of the last things that remained from that trade was the Packers getting the Jets second round pick. Man, if he had played a bunch of snaps and got their first rounder and they get a top 10 pick, that's a then you get your Wonga as your left tackle that you really like there. But obviously didn't happen. Turned out to be a Jets second rounder, still 41st overall. Almost having two top 40 picks is nice. But then something happened, and Jesse, actually, one of the things we wanted in the first round, if you were not going to go O-line, which Packers did, so thanks for that. We didn't want them to go receiver, certainly not tight end or running back. There's no one there worth it, or quarterback, frankly. Let's be real. I mean, if they went quarterback, what does that say about the Jordan Love negotiations for the contract extension? We were thinking defense was kind of even the higher likely chance, just because there's so many positions you could go at defense, and specifically corner. We talked about Cooper DeJean, Kool-Aid McKinstry. Well, Cooper DeJean went in the draft just before that 41st pick, and then the Packers ended up trading down four spots with the Saints, and they went Kool-Aid McKinstry, and that told me a lot, but maybe it doesn't also paint the full picture there either. And anyway, so with the 45th overall pick, after having moved out with the Saints, the Packers went Edrin Cooper, a linebacker out of Texas A&M. So what did you think, Jesse, about A, the trade down, and then B, going with Edrin Cooper here?
First, I think the trade, when Philly traded up, got Cooper in front of us. I think that was the guy they're probably looking at. That might have been that tier, right? So they decided to take the trade, knowing that they're still going to get one of the couple guys they probably had in the next tier. And then they go out and they get the best linebacker in this class. Some scouts were saying that, on their board, he was a first round top 20 player. This dude plays with his hair on fire. I love the pick. It's probably might be my favorite pick in the whole draft, actually. You get a guy next to Quay who's sideline to sideline. So we have two super athletic linebackers. Something that I don't remember the last time we said Green Bay's got two of probably the most athletic linebackers in the league. Stay athletically. But this guy, everybody talks about. Green Bay needs to bring in some dogs, guys that play with their hair on fire, going downhill. They will hit you in the mouth. This is everything that Edge Cooper does. This guy plays 100 miles an hour. He again, and you'll see this throughout this draft. He can rush the quarterback too. He can blitz, kind of like what they're doing Walker late in the season, where they'd have him either blitz the A gaps or come off the edge and just wreak havoc on the quarterback. This guy does the same thing. Missed a few tackles in college. I think and a lot of it was being over aggressive, but he made plays that a lot of other guys can't make. They just simply can't make. Just getting off blocks, getting around blocks, putting guys to the ground. He's a stud. I love the pick. You get the best linebacker in the draft.
Yeah, in a class, again, you were able to get the best player in a position in the second round. Tells me it might not be as strong. It's also maybe a position that the NFL seems to be devaluing year after year. And I wonder, Jesse, if we downplayed it too, or certainly I did, I think, not the downplayed the importance of maybe needing to address it. Okay, going to the 4-3 and having that change and that transition. Okay, it's less linebackers on the field. So they've already got enough linebackers. Then if you're having to add linebackers and go, you know, then that's where, okay, maybe you need more. But then how many of the Packers linebackers really do fit a 4-3 scheme? Talk about Quay Walker. If he's the man in the middle, then that should be no difference really for him. And I feel like Preston Smith's game is well-rounded, that he could play in either scenario. He can play in 4-3 or 3-4. So maybe they keep him as a defensive end, but I could also see Preston Smith being one of those outside linebackers. But does Isaiah McDuffie, or is it Trent McDuffie? What does the McDuffie that's on the Packers, who I suddenly forgot which one again?
Isaiah,
okay. Trust my instincts. That's what I thought it was. Does Isaiah McDuffie project as an outside linebacker? And I wonder, Jesse, does Edgerrin Cooper just fit either like a strong side linebacker so perfectly well?
I do. You know, just
or weak side linebacker, either really.
They're really. So, you know, you got three stand-up linebackers. So basically off-ball linebackers, I like to call them, you know, where they're just – it all depends on the defense too, because, you know, at one point, you know, he had Von Miller, who was stand-up, considered an off-ball linebacker. No, he wasn't. That guy was coming downhill at the quarterback, but that was the way they ran that defense. It was still a 4-3 defense. And with
– heck, we've seen Clay Matthews line up on the line of scrimmage as a linebacker, right? And we've seen the opposite here in Green Bay.
Exactly. So now with Cooper and Walker, you have two guys that can essentially do kind of, hey, I can come down, come off the edge and go, you know, go blitz, or I can play in space and play in coverage and I can actually, you know, stop the run also. So it's just, I think it's disguising and keeping other teams where they can't diagnose your defense. That's what you have. You have two super athletic guys and you still needed bodies at this position, right? You have Isaiah McDuffie for in a pinch. You need three starters out there unless you're in. That's in base, but I mean, essentially you need three guys out there. And you can play special teams also. So that's another thing that you can do with this. But you don't want McDuffie, as much as I like him, starting every week, especially, you know, if you got these two guys. So if you added depth, you added a body. And again, you know, if he's the best linebacker in this class, they have high hopes for him. So I love the pick.
Yeah, it looks like he might almost be the most locked in player that the Packers drafted that will start right away. Again, we anticipate Morgan will too, but it almost seems like an inevitability that Cooper's in the week one lineup if he's healthy.
Yeah, Cooper and I think the next pick are both going to be on the field first snap week one for sure.
Well, yeah, I guess we can get to that pick right now because the Packers ended up having two picks in the second round. Again, the trade with the Jets and the trade down. Actually, just to quickly speak on that trade down, part of my thinking was what you were thinking too, Jesse, the timing of it where Cooper DeJean went to the Eagles, and then then it was announced the Packers traded down with the Saints. I've heard rumors that the trade happened before and it was only announced then. And the Packers weren't really targeting cornerback there, which is why they didn't just take Kool-Aid McKinstry. They were always targeting Edgerrin Cooper, and they felt they mapped it out where they knew that they'd be able to trade down. They'd get those extra picks. They got 168th and 190th overall. And honestly, they didn't make either of those picks. So they used both those picks to make more moves later on. So they're like, Gutekunst was all for the draft day trading. And it actually more than it, this really reminds me of, funny enough, another cornerback with Jair Alexander. They knew they wanted Jair the whole time. And Gutekunst was confident in his ability to trade down and still get him. And sure enough, that's what happened. So I wonder if I'm kind of leaning more towards they were always after Cooper. And they just felt, again, the devaluation of the linebacker position, the teams that I think, especially with Cooper DeJean going, maybe that was part of the factor for why the Saints traded up. Maybe the Saints thought, okay, if we can stick, we can get one of McKinstry or Cooper DeJean. Then they see him go off. And that actually is, that's the impetus for this trade. Isn't so much the Packers being aggressive to try and trade down. The Saints really wanted to come up for that cornerback. And the Packers thought they could still get away with getting the guy they wanted, even four picks later, they must have felt that everyone between 42 and 44, I guess three teams really, if you're taking away the Saints and what they were doing, but those other three teams, Gutekunst must have thought they're not going linebacker. They've got other needs, or they're clearly going on offense. I don't have to worry about them taking defensive players, and just felt at 45, we'll still get our guy. And if that's the case, really did get their guy. So kudos to Gutekunst, because I think it's a genius move. It's not, again, it's not adding much, but enough extra ammunition to make trades and move up where you really need to later, or really, really want to later.
No, that's a great point, because that ammunition moved them back up in the fourth round. And a lot of people felt that after the fourth round is kind of a crapshoot, it really fell off. So getting back into the fourth round and getting your guy, it worked. He was playing chess. He got his guy here, and he ended up getting, again, you know, we'll talk later, but a safety in the fourth round where he moved up and got his guy. So, yeah, good move. Great move.
Actually, that's a perfect transition. Now it's great. This is the perfect time to get the next pick, because you mentioned safety. And ultimately, we'll get to that even later, but the Packers ended up drafting three safeties during the 2024 draft. So we talked about secondary being a position of need, and it almost didn't matter, corner or safety, go get as much talent as you can in the defensive backfield. And sure enough, second round, with their natural second round pick, 58th overall, they just stuck and picked with this one, Javon Bullard, a free safety out of Georgia. The fact that he was announced specifically as free safety means it's probably a perfect complement to Xavier McKinney. It's the one drawback of it is it's not the Savage Amos sort of either could play free or strong safety and will disguise it that way. But with this very creative defensive back-minded coaching staff with three either current or former defensive backs coach on the team, including the defensive coordinator, I'm sure having them both just stay strong in free safety, if that was the case with McKinney and Bullard, you could disguise and get creative in other aspects in the secondary to still disguise what the coverages are. But that's not to say that Bullard has to play free safety every snap and McKinney has to play strong safety every snap. But you know, your last point before we transitioned out of the Edrin Cooper pick is you think Bullard's a week one starter. All due respect to Anthony Johnson, he's the starting free safety on this team.
He'll be on the field no matter what. So when Lafley came in, he said, you know, what's your perfect safeties? We got McKinney, a guy that can play. He's so versatile, he can play anywhere. This is what Bullard does. I mean, when he started his first year at Georgia, he was their nickel corner. And then he moved to safety, played both safety spots. He'd come down the box. He is a sure tackler, and he will set the tone. It's been a long time since we had this safety. Trust me, these two safeties are the best Green Bay's had probably since the 90s. With Sharper and Butler. That's how excited I am about this pick. And again, some talking heads had him as the number one safety between him and Cooper. We got one of the better ones again. This kid will hit you every time. He can come down, he can cover in the slot, can move him around. So that's why I think he's going to be on the field. If we have three safeties on the field, he's going to be your nickel. And Nixon plays nickel too, don't get me wrong. But this kid can play everywhere. And that affords to what you said, you can move other pieces around. So the more you have guys that can play anywhere, again, confusion, have the offense just being a tick slow because they're thinking and good things happen. But this guy, a little bit smaller, a little bit under 200 pounds, but he puts guys to the ground. He does the same Jair Alexander finisher with the sword in his, putting the sword in after he's done. Just made to be a Packer, man. If you see how excited he was to be a Green Bay Packer, still gets to keep the G on his helmet because, like the Eagles, we also like these Georgia Bulldogs. Home run pick right here.
The program wins back-to-back national championships. That's going to be good players, right? And I guess the one good thing, though, with both Bullard and both second-round picks, really, Bullard and Cooper, you were saying, Jesse, there's a chance they're the best player at both their positions, linebacker and safety in this draft. Both were positions of need for the Packers. But it felt like they were the best players available. They didn't reach on either, and they were able to fill two very important needs on the defense.
Big time. And it showed you right there, and as we go with the draft, where the Packers thought they were weak, and it was up the middle on their defense. And what have we been saying? How long have we been together, Kyle? 4 years? Close to 4 years? It's always been a weakness up the middle. Hey, tight ends, chew us up. Guys over the middle, chew us up. Well, we're throwing some darts at that position, so hopefully the middle is closed. And if you're going over it, you're going to get put down or hopefully some turnovers. So
dressing the middle, right? Wow, that would have been a what a crazy thought. But honestly, through three picks, just through the first two rounds, it's this could have been like A plus for the Packers. Like I think they nailed all three of their first picks. Even if we were a little surprised with Morgan being the pick, I think we were both happy. Address the offensive line. It's the biggest need on offense. Not that it was a bad offensive line, but it was the one spot where you could see where you could clearly upgrade. And if you're going to have this great high-powered passing offense, you need those pass protectors. And if they can get in that, as good as Rashid Walker is, if Jordan Morgan is a clear upgrade on him, it was all the worth it. And then yeah, Cooper Bullard, perfectly. I couldn't complain about a single thing, right? Like they're not a possible complaint in the entire world. Of course, if you're a Packers fan, you know Brian Gutekunst in the third round. Oh, there's a history there, and it's not a very good history. Kind of felt last year maybe turned a corner because we both really liked the Tucker Kraft pick. Although in
Oh yeah.
hindsight, it took him after taking another tight end. So it, like, it was that really a good pick? I think we'd still stand by it. Not an outstanding pick, but fact is, though, I think it's a good pick is basically about all you can get out of Gutekunst in the third round. So this is where we might divert a little bit, but I rant mode activate here. I didn't like either of the third round picks the Packers made. They didn't reach any in either their first three picks, but these two here, pick 88 and 91 overall, it felt like they reached on both and at positions where it's, again, they've been devalued by the NFL, so that's not the position to reach on. You know, you reach on a position if you think there'll be a big run on them and we'll totally miss out. I'll start with Marshawn Lloyd, because honestly, I wasn't I a lot of people really liked him in draft season. I did not. And I do if anyone reads on fullpresscoverage.com, I do fantasy football rankings for running backs, kind of a three-step process going into the draft. And my starting off with the running back film grades, he was 19th in the class. They took him as the, I think, the fourth running back off the board. And like other steps of the way, like his production wasn't that great. He averaged less than 700 scrimmage yards per season, really didn't do anything until his last year, and was still limited in terms of his number of opportunities. The one thing that really worked in his favor, man, he dominated the combine. I think I wrote in the article he had the fifth best relative athletic score among the top 20 running backs that I ranked before the draft. Great athlete, which of course Gutekunst loves, but to just elevate because of a really good combine is, I don't know, I didn't like it. I didn't love the footwork. I felt that when he runs, he does this weird sort of drag step with his one foot. Is kind of way to, you know, I guess like make the defender kind of second guess, and like it's almost a way to psych them out. But it feels like he wastes a lot of motion doing it. He wastes a lot of momentum doing it. It's almost like he'll raise the foot really high and drag it behind him really far. It seems like it's a very awkward way to run. And so I like just off the bat, footwork I had concerns with, but he did not grade out really well in any of the categories. 19th in evasion body fluidity. He was 7th in contact balance, so that was good, and 12th in burst. And obviously that he might eat 12th might have even been too low considering how good he did at the combine. But I just thought there were some serious flaws to his game that concerned me. And my running back one in this class went undrafted. So they could have, in my mind, got a better running back than Marshawn Lloyd in the 7th round. And that's why I think ultimately it was a huge reach. There were, and I mean, he definitely wasn't the best running back available because there were some really good running backs that went before. We talked about Jalen Wright before. He went a full round later. So it was a reach at the just position alone. Taking a running back in the third round felt like a reach no matter who it was. But for it to be Marshawn Lloyd, I felt was a massive reach. So I don't love that pick. And I could rant about the next pick, but I'll give you a chance to talk about Marshawn Lloyd in case you do in fact like him and think I'm being a total hater.
I'll reel you in just a little bit. So yeah, starting off with what you're saying, yeah, I thought it was early. Jalen Wright was my guy, as we've talked about in the past. I just love Jalen Wright, especially his senior year. It's just a bowling ball, right? So Marshawn Lloyd didn't do a lot of USC guys. I don't know, on the West Coast, you don't see a lot of it, especially it's so late at night. You know, just for me personally, and then just doing a little digging into the guy because I was kind of like you, like what? Why are we? Not my running back, and why this early, right? Well, it kind of shows that Dylan's not going to be your long term. Josh Jacobs is on a shorter, it's essentially 1 year contracts, not a 4 year deal. And Gutekunst said this kid's best football's in front of him. So building off of that, you know, and being positive here, I love his build. He's 5'9", 220. So he's built like Josh Jacobs. Low to the ground, got some size to him. Kind of the reason why I think Green Bay went away from Aaron Jones, unfortunately, as much as we love him, a little undersized, right? They want a little bit more beef on their backs. He did average 7.1 yards per carry last year. He does run a little funny. I'm with you. Like, it looks weird when he runs the ball. But, man, you put on his highlight tape, this dude's electric. He really is. He doesn't go down easy. It just seems like he keeps his legs moving. It's funny as they move at times. But this is a guy, I think, where Matt LaFleur was always wanting with that jet motion stuff. You have a guy like this that can – and he can catch passes, too. You just manufacture a few touches. I don't want him to carry the ball 20 times because I think that's where you'll see – unlike A.J. Dillon that needs more carries to get better – this is a guy that you give like five manufactured touches, try to get an explosive out of it and call it a day. Right. And I think he can give you that. I still like Emmanuel Wilson. So that's why I thought it was a little bit early for this pick. We'll see. I think there's a lot of explosive plays in this kid and I think that's what they liked. But yes, it was early. I will agree with that. I think you could have got similar value or even maybe better later on. So we'll see. Still a pretty young guy, and they think that he's got a bright future. So we'll see.
So, and I just rechecked my numbers. I missaid that. He averaged, though, 900 scrimmage yards per season, which is still really, like, anything below 1,000 is not good for these running backs where, again, Blake Watson was averaging 1,400 scrimmage yards per season. Oh, yeah, and he went undrafted. Even though, like, we talk about production profile, I mean, Blake Watson had a season with 53 catches in college last year at Memphis. Marshawn Lloyd's best season at USC, 18 receptions. And typically 20 catches is that threshold. If you can't catch 20 passes in college, you're probably never going to do it in the NFL. Most guys who have caught 20 or more passes in the NFL, like I know Zach Reed from the Dynasty Dummies, he's done the research. It's like I think almost 80% of the 20 reception or more running backs in the NFL did it in college. So there's very few guys that are outliers that will be pass catchers. It seems like Matt LaFleur thinks he's a pass catcher. I know a lot of people said, okay, the quantity of receptions wasn't there, but the way he caught it on tape, it looks like he's a capable pass catcher, but it still just scares me a little bit. And I'll come back to my same conversation in free agency. I don't care about size. And I think Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon have proved that size doesn't matter because the entire career, Aaron Jones was the better goal line back. So right. you can miss me with this whole, oh, they need to get bigger. I don't think they need to get bigger at all. I think Aaron Jones was a very dominant running back at what he did. And the fact that he's not on this team hurts this team this year. And you know what, Jesse? I think you're right. The Marshawn Lloyd pick isn't a pick for this year. This is more a pick for next year. Once Dylan's probably gone. And if Josh Jacobs doesn't completely smash and prove that he's like a far superior back to Aaron Jones, they're probably cutting him this year, just like they did with Aaron, or next year, like they did with Aaron Jones this year. So there's a chance that they've drafted their lead workhorse running back for next season. So I get that. My problem is the running back position, especially for a team in a Super Bowl window, shouldn't be even a next year thing. The only thing that matters at running back is 2024. And the best running back that the Packers had on contract this year is already not on the team. For win now 2024, there's nothing that can convince me that Aaron Jones isn't the best answer. And that's why I feel like in all the great things Gutekunst has done this year, he's completely fumbled the running back position. Now, if the NFL devalues running back so much, it shouldn't matter that he messed it up. But the reason that he messed it up, though, is Aaron Jones does more than just running back. Who he is as a route runner, what he does to the offense, the leader in the locker room. I don't care how good of a leader Josh Jacobs is perceived to be. He's not just walking in there and being Aaron Jones immediately. Like, you've lost so much on this team. You could have just paid Aaron Jones and saved all this heartache. Didn't even have to bring A.J. Dillon back. Didn't have to reach on a running back in the third round. I don't care about next year right now, especially at such a short-term position as running back. Because guess what? They'll probably draft guys next year in what looks like a way better class than this year. So I hate it because, again, the best option isn't on the team. And so anything else they do at running back this year feels like it's just not the right answer. So I hated the pick. I felt this is where they could have gone with a cornerback. And then maybe later you'd go with your running back. Again, Blake Watson was an undrafted free agent. And I thought everything they say about Lloyd being the perfect complement to Jacobs, to me, it's Blake Watson. It's not Marshawn Lloyd. I'd much rather have Blake Watson on this team. I don't care if he's undersized. Again, that's part of the whole argument of why I would love an Aaron Jones, Blake Watson backfield. I don't care how undersized it is. But that's just me. So once again, Ryan Gutekunst just knows how to pull up my heartstrings and really make me mad with his third round picks. And guess what? It continued with the next one. Tyron Hooper, a linebacker out of Missouri, just 3 picks later. And I was, okay, they really need to address linebacker. Do they expect both to start? And then I'm reading, like, Zach Bruner on Twitter, from founder of Fleury Sports. There's a lot of great podcasts there. We've had him on as a guest before. Really connected football guy. He coaches offensive line at the high school level, college level. I can't remember exactly what level, but I know he's a coach. And he was tweeting out, he hated the Hooper pick. He felt he's essentially just Isaiah McDuffie. And it's more just depth at inside linebacker when you really needed outside linebackers. So it just feels like, and again, inside linebackers get so devalued. Did you have to reach on a dude in the third round? It just feels like both picks were massive reaches to me. But again, Jesse, can you pull out some positivity out of this? What did you think of Tyron Hooper?
Not so much on this one. I'm with you. He's probably taken, for me, 2 rounds early. So positives on. So yes, we needed more bodies at the linebacker position. I get it, up the middle. This might be a huge freaking special teams move. So this might be a Fasaccia. Hey, I love this guy. Again, too early. 4th round, 5th round, cool. So positives here. Spin it positively. This dude again is a tone setter. He led the SEC out of all off-ball linebackers in sacks with 12 the last 2 years. So he's a blitzer. Again, this is kind of what Green Bay is looking for. Bringing pressure from different angles. This guy can bring pressure. He also, I think, led the SEC with off-ball linebackers in tackles for a loss also. So this guy gets on the other side of scrimmage. Sounds like he's a blitzing guy only. He was injured. He was for the Butkus Award. Missouri had a pretty good defense. He was the leader of that defense. Green Bay said they clocked him in the high 4.5, so a little faster than what he ran at his pro day. But again, I think it's a reach. There's a lot of other guys on the board, trust me, that I loved instead of this pick. So this is a, hey, third round, like you said, we'll wait and see. And I do love the Kraft pick. So hopefully he's our only. Yes, this is too soon.
Well, way you know what? If Sean Ryan has to start, we're hoping that one, that third rounder works out too. I think right. Sean Ryan was a third rounder.
He was.
Yeah, so there you go. Those are the two that will hit and work out because we need them to.
Right. So yeah.
And you know what? Maybe Marshawn Lloyd does work out. He does turn into a workhorse back, and in 2025, he's dominating the Packers and carries. But again, I don't care. I want to win the Super Bowl in 2024. I want everything to be best in 2024. I just feel like it's not. Now, what you're saying about Hooper, though, maybe he does fit in as an outside linebacker. Maybe he isn't just a depth inside guy and a special teams guy. So I guess we'll have to wait and see how he's used, when he gets to training camp and where the team feels like they can fit him in.
And that's where I'm at with it. Again, I think it was early. He's got some good tape and another tone setter. But, yeah, it's off-ball linebacker, interchangeable. We'll see how they use these guys. But he can blitz. So, and that's a nice thing, again. And he plays on the other side of the line of scrimmage. He's a good athlete, so we'll see. But yes, I personally think he would have been there in the 4th or maybe even 5th round.
So talking about the 4th round, you mentioned it earlier. The Packers ended up trading up in the 4th round, got pick 111 overall, and they basically used the extra picks they got from the Saints as the ammunition to go do that. And they took their second safety of the day. So fortunately, linebacker was the first position they took 2 at. It feels like that. We would have loved it to be something like safety, but hey, they still managed to get their guy. And yeah, trade down in round 2 to get your guy. So you can trade up more easily in round 4 to really lock in your guy. Evan Williams, a safety out of Oregon. Now, unlike Buller, they didn't specify free safety specifically, which I wonder, again, that's because if you look at a depth chart, they'll envision Bullard as the guy they'll pencil in as the starting free safety, even though he and McKinney might again have some versatility where you could disguise there. Maybe my initial comments of that, because they had it set out that way. But maybe you're right, Jess. Maybe there's some versatility there. But Evan Williams, just listening to his safety, I wonder if that they feel like he can fit in either way. It almost does seem like Anthony Johnson to a certain extent. I know he mostly just played free safety, but Evan Williams out of Oregon. Let's hear your thoughts, Jesse.
Another versatile, a lot of people love this pick. Like really excited because, like you said, where is he going to play? I don't know. He's another good tackler. You can bring him down the box. Playmaker, gets his hands on the football. Just all around, what everybody says, just all around good football player. Doesn't do anything crazy good. Well, he's in the fourth round. There's probably a reason, right? But he's a sure player when he's out there. So again, interchangeable. You're bringing in guys that can play multiple positions, just to fit, right? And I like Anthony Johnson. He's one of my guys. But Green Bay, I think they're just throwing more bodies out there and let the best guys win. But if you, the more you can do, the better chance you're going to stick around. So I like to play. I like to pick for sure.
And it's interesting because, maybe they tried to trade up in the first round, but I structurally of how the Packers draft was set up, they ended up trading down in the round, in the second round where they had multiple picks. But the fourth round was the pick where I guess they felt they needed to be aggressive because they didn't have a second fourth round pick. So it's okay. You look at the entirety of the fourth round. Who's the guy we want? We have to go get him now. But they doubled up on picks in a lot of other rounds. Two picks in round two. Fortunately, two picks in round three. Now, the one thing when they traded Rasul Douglas and got a third rounder, honestly, at this point, you tell me it's some random running back, Marshawn Lloyd, that I really don't like. I would have rather they didn't get the third at all. Just ride Rasul Douglas out last year on the playoff run, let him walk as a free agent and get nothing for it. I almost think that would have been better. That's how little I think of Marshawn Lloyd. That's pretty bad. I'm not going to go that far. But all to say that, like, that extra. Those extra games of Douglas might almost have been worth it. Does that help them beat the 49ers? I don't know. As soon as that trade was made too, and they get a third rounder. Oh God, not a third rounder. You couldn't have got a second. You couldn't have got a fourth in a player. You had to make it a third rounder. Anyway, we're past third round now. In fact, we're even past the fourth round. And we're fourth round, we're back to happy. Evan Williams, we think it's a great pick, right? You think that was good value, it was worth trading up to get him?
Yeah, big time. Yeah,
All
so
right.
again, it worked.
Back in the positive. That's good. That's great. Just before the break. All right. So now we have the Packers' final five picks. Mentioned earlier, two in the fifth round, one in the sixth, two in the seventh. So we'll there's some bookending there. But it's funny how in the fifth round, Jesse, we start with an interior offensive lineman from Duke. Could you imagine if Barton fell to the fifth round? That was never going to happen. He was a clear first rounder that we felt the Packers might get. They didn't. But hey, they still got an interior Duke guy, Jacob Monk, listed at center from Duke. I don't know, for anyone who hasn't watched Duke or who's been a hermit and needs to, come out of their shrine, try to make a monk joke, but you could lose me on that one. Some machine yelling 42. That's I'm some machines yelling 42 at me right now, which is the answer for everything. But it was pick 163, not 142. But yes, Jacob Monk out of Duke. Jesse, what do you think?
So I think this was a reach for me. I like the player. Comes from good bloodlines, family all played college football. Dad made the NFL. He's tenacious. He plays hard. He's a captain. Super strong. He set some records at Duke in the weight room, so he's a weight room junkie. All good stuff. Kind of flew under the radar. If you look at some of the rankings, they had him like in the 300s, so it might have been early. But again, Green Bay knows what they like. They know what they want. He fits their profile. He's a leader, two-time captain. Very tenacious. So it looks like we want to move people a little bit more. And just listen to his interview. This kid's got this quiet confidence where he's not cocky. He's confident. He's coming to work and he expects to come and play. And that kind of won me over because I'm like, man, what? Duke's right down the road from me. So obviously Barton was the guy I was always watching. He's watching cutups. But this guy showed, he was good. He was solid. I mean, all ACC, I think, second team. But I'm like, wow, that's a little bit early. And then listen to his interview. I'm like, okay, this is Packer people right here. He's going to come in here. He's going to work his butt off. And eventually, you're probably going to see him playing down the road. Probably not this year, but as for depth and the question marks at center, why not? So I think it's early. Wasn't my favorite pick, but in the Packers, O lineman drafting, we trust. So I'm not upset.
I mean, it seems like Gutekunst prioritizes traits and then to a certain extent intangibles as well. And so you're saying they would have probably definitely interviewed him and like before the draft and got a sense of who he was as a person. They felt like, hey, this guy's gonna work. And you see the results in the traits, like the athletic traits, the strength, but also you watch the tape and you see what kind of technique and skill set he has. And those are more than, and it's not like offensive linemen are producing anything, but like certainly in other positions, you'd say more than production. Like Marshawn Lloyd, because you're not drafting him for his college production. You're drafting him for what he's gonna do in the NFL.
Right.
So do you think Monk has a chance to fight for with let's say that they keep Walker as a backup tackle, they keep Tom as a tackle, and Sean Ryan is in line to start at right guard. Do you think Monk could come in and potentially fight with him for the job, or even just Myers at center?
I'll tell you what, if he does and he wins the job, he's a damn good player, because that's knocking off two time well, Myers will be a 3-year starter now. So you're doing something right. He's probably a depth piece this first year, which that's totally fine. It's a fifth round pick, man.
We
And
didn't really have a backup center except for the starting left guard and the starting right tackle. And you don't really want them as your backup centers. You want them as your elite left guard and right tackle. So, yeah, the just specifically the center depth could really. I mean, I think they still have Jake Hansen on team, if I'm not mistaken.
No, he's gone. Yeah, he's gone.
That's
So.
probably for the best. So, yeah, they essentially didn't have a depth center anyway last year. So now they actually do, it seems like. Hopefully. I mean, maybe he doesn't pan out, but yeah.
And I think we're getting back to, seven or eight O linemen, and they're versatile, but your best five are out there and the other guys can come in and compete. So I love it. Again, early for me, but I get it. It makes sense. And when they put it at center, maybe this is a light of fire under Myers a little bit too. Hey, we're looking at other guys coming in here and pushing. So.
I believe, I mean, yeah, 3-year starter. So Myers is in the final year of his rookie contract, right?
Yep, definitely.
So yeah, it's also some maybe even not if it's light a fire for this year, but it's, hey, if you want get that second contract with the Packers, you've got to be better than you have been.
Yep, push. Iron sharpens iron. So.
So Monk became the second offensive lineman prospect that the Packers took, and then it also in the fifth round, just six picks later. 169 overall. The Packers took their third safety, their second on day three, Heaton Oladipo, safety out of Oregon State. So they went with a Oregon safety and then an Oregon State safety. Now they're nice and balanced.
They like those West Coast guys, don't they? So this is a bigger player. So this guy, don't be surprised in like dime looks, where he could be like your dime linebacker down
He's
in the
that third
box.
answer as like a strong side linebacker.
Right, exactly. And that's kind of when they were like showing us highlights. This guy's a everything in front of him, downhill, seek and destroy kind of player. Little Raw was a soccer player. His brother was a soccer player for I believe it was Oregon or University of Portland, sorry. So coming from a soccer background, so super athletic, right? A little bit raw, obviously, your fifth round pick here. But yeah, it's just, hey, different body style than what we have. He's 6'2", like I think like 220, and can fly. So yeah, you can bring him in on third down, third and long, and can play in the middle and spy the quarterback if need be, or whatever you ask of him. But again, they're just throwing a few different body types at the safety position and see what sticks. So this is right now in the fifth round, you're taking upside and athletic ability. And I think that's what they're doing. And the next pick, I think, says that 100% too.
I mean, heck, he might not even be a safety. Like you said, he might end up playing more linebacker. And, with
Right.
that athleticism, is that someone you want out there on special teams? Or is the lack of experience maybe something that Bisaccia wouldn't love as much on special teams? He wants guys that have been there before and played on return coverages.
I mean, I think you can work with it, right? You got a guy that can fly and wants to hit people, especially with the new rules. Everybody's kind of new to it.
True.
So, yeah, put these guys out there and see what you got. So, it'll be
Fair enough.
interesting.
And Bisaccia probably has so much confidence in himself. Okay, I can take someone and I can mold them into a great special teams player.
Right, definitely.
Right. Now we have confidence in Bisaccia to do that. But yes, you referenced the next pick, sixth round now, 202nd overall. They take their third offensive line prospect, Travis Glover from Georgia State. So they got an Oregon and Oregon State player. They got a Georgia and a Georgia State player. They're just, again, well-balanced draft for the most part. But yes, their third offensive lineman, they list him as a tackle as well. So this is outside depth, or is there a chance he could move inside? He's another guy competing with Sean Ryan.
I think this is their project. This is Yash Nineman, 2.0. He's your outside big 6'6", 318, raw, played, a smaller division, Georgia State, which very good program, but smaller. But this is your guy that just a big ball, just a ball of clay right now. And hopefully in a year or two, you get like someone like a Nineman out of it or something that could be your swing tackle. So, I mean, he ran, I was just reading, they let him run a fake punt on 4th and 2, so you got to be a pretty good athlete if they're letting you do a fake punt and stuff like that. But yeah, they said that he's a worker. He's coming in, wants to play, again, another team captain. So typical Green Bay pick. But yeah, this is your guy. He probably doesn't even make the roster, but hopefully you can stash him away on the practice squad and turn him into something in a year or two.
Yeah, that's a good point of the practice squad, right? With those traits, like you're long term believing in him more than anything else. So we'll see. I guess I don't really have too much more to say other than okay. So he's not gonna be, in a sense, maybe the opposite of what the Packers typically do, which is the versatile offensive lineman. Which I guess isn't so much here, but yeah, there's a. But it's the other part that Gutekunst loves to do, the high upside athlete. Like let's draft the things we can't teach and then teach the rest.
Right. Get them in our program and let's go.
And back to my whole point of traits, not production. I think it's massive at quarterback, especially because I went and looked at their 7th round pick, 245th overall, Michael Pratt, quarterback out of Tulane. And the one thing that connects Pratt with Sean Clifford and even Jordan Love, all of them had below 62% completion percentage in college. Pratt was barely over 60%. And so they weren't looking at that as being a big negative. It's the traits. It's the arm strength, the what they think, at least the intangibles, but how you're moving in the pocket. What's the accuracy like? Like those are the traits, especially a quarterback with such an important position. They don't really care what the production was like in college. Things can be so program dependent anyway. So it also felt like Pratt was a bit of a value here. I think a lot of people were expecting him to be like the 7th or 8th quarterback off the board, not the last one taken in the 7th round. I think he was the 11th quarterback off the board. So it seemed like he fell further than expected. So for the Packers to just swipe him up and take another shot at quarterback at a value. Oh, wait, way better value than Sean Clifford was last year in the 5th round, but clearly they believed in Clifford more to force that. But maybe having Clifford allowed them to be more patient here. But do you like Pratt? Do you think he's got a chance to fight Sean Clifford for that backup job this year?
Okay, yeah, so I like him so much. I think it's a no-brainer he's going to have the job. And I also saw people put...
I know people hated Sean Clifford, so I know a lot of people that would have said that anyway, but even if Pratt was just... not that great, but I was almost kind of leaning that way too, but okay. I'll let you finish without interrupting. Sorry.
So no, I like Pratt, and I saw a few talking heads on Twitter, and I go back and look at it and I question it. I question it towards Pratt. They said, what does JJ McCarthy do better than Pratt? And JJ McCarthy won the top 15. You go back and look at it. Nothing, absolutely nothing that he has other than being on a super winning team, and playing within the system. But not arm strength. I mean, yeah, Pratt's his completion percentage is down a little bit. He threw for 2,400 yards, 22 touchdowns. He was the AAC's Offensive Player of the Year. Ran for 286 yards, 5 more touchdowns. All-time leading passer at Tulane, and they like to sling the ball there. Big arm, super explosive, big arm, good size kid, 6'2", 220. Yeah, I'm saying all this not to say, yeah, this guy's going to be a Hall of Famer. I'm kind of talking him up, but I think we've got a steal as a backup quarterback. And I like Sean Clifford. The fearless Sean Clifford comes in there, just gunslinged it last year, Mr. August. It was great. But I think this kid is more refined and just overall a better quarterback. It'll be a fun preseason when those two battle, but I think this kid wins the job and I think he's okay, man. And again, I'm not saying he's better than McCarthy, but if you look at the two of them, I don't, other than maybe some leadership qualities and playing in the system for McCarthy, the talent on the field, I don't see anything different or better.
I'm lucky there's way less pressure. He just has to be a backup, but whereas That's McCarthy's it. The fate of the franchise, and like keeping Justin Jefferson in Minnesota seems like it all hinges on his shoulders.
Yep.
So to that point, yeah, I say great value here. And yeah, I think there's definitely a chance that he's the backup over Sean Clifford.
I agree.
Yeah, some people really didn't like Sean Clifford last year. Thought it was the worst quarterback in the draft, and the Packers like massive reached on him. But we'll end things here with Kalen King, a cornerback from Penn State. And this does the first when I saw this, the first thing I thought it was, okay, Anthony Johnson last year, a seventh round defensive back that probably went later than expected. For cornerback being such a need, Jesse, the fact they took till the seventh round to address it. Again, this is where I would have liked them to go corner early, and this is where you just take Blake Watson because he's available. But you think with Kalen King they hit something like Anthony Johnson? Because you thought he was like the steal of the draft and arguably one of their best picks. Sure enough, he played a lot more than most of their rookies and played a lot better than what a seventh rounder could be expected to do. And maybe now, you know, Johnson might still be a backup because of everything else they've done at safety, but at least they've got a guy that you know is on that team solid for a while. Do you think Kalen King is like that, like Anthony Johnson? Or is this okay, so another good value steal in the seventh. Love it.
Yeah, so if you look at his tape from 2 years ago, he was considered a first round pick, and many had him as the best cornerback in the class. Last year, nobody knows what happened, but he was awful. He was just awful. And Gutekind spoke about that when they got him. They said, you know, we really don't know why he had the fall, but he said they'd like to see that disappointment turned into drive. They think they got a steal and a kid with good he's got a lot of good skill set. He's only 21 years old. He can play a lot of versatility. He looked really good in the nickel last year, but when he was out on an island on the outside, he got torched. Especially by, you know, Marvin Harrison Jr., but who didn't he torch? But again, it's a young player who had a really bad year last year. And I think they're just looking at the upside. Seventh round, right? Hey, this kid was talked about being a first rounder a year ago if he came out. Didn't come out, goes back to school, and just bombs.
And 1 year, he almost goes undrafted. Yeah, take advantage of that if that's there for sure.
Why not, right? You know, great skill set. You know, they said he's a good kid. Get him in with a new coach that's a secondary, you know, defensive coordinator that loves secondary, and see what you get out of him, right? If anything, even if you just get a good backup, like your fifth quarter, you know, in a year or two, oh, well, seventh round.
I mean, if he turns out to be Kevin King, I don't think we think that's that awful. You didn't have to spend a first rounder on it, which would be even better. Right.
And if he turns out to be Sam Shields, who was a seventh rounder, oh, my God, he hit a home run again. So it's a good value pick for where it's at. You don't expect much, and anything you get in return is a steal.
Wonder if everyone says that about this. We provide great value. They weren't expecting much from us, Jesse. No, I expect a lot from us. I think you're pretty great. So I love hearing all your takes about all these prospects. Thought we did a fantastic job running through all 11 picks.
I appreciate it. I might be just not knowing what I'm talking about, but I love the draft, and I love to see what these kids can do going forward. So.
And going forward, we'll talk about all the moves, like in terms of undrafted free agents. We'll probably talk about that, actually, with the moves the Packers made there after the draft in a couple weeks from now. Until then, you can follow us on X at FPC_fantasypod. Jesse's at Hall_jhall1212. I'm at Senra Says. Shout out to PA the Second at PA_IIOfficial. He lets us use the song Odaewu as intro and outro music. So over to you, Jesse. Any final thoughts for listeners?
Hey, enjoyed it. Look forward to these new kids coming to Green Bay, and go Pack Go.
Absolutely. We'll stick with you all through the offseason here. Full Press Packers Pod.